Welcome to All Bodies on Bikes, the podcast, where all bodies are good bodies, all bikes are good bikes, and all rides are celebrated.
All Bodies on Bikes is a movement to create and foster a radically inclusive bike community. So join your hosts, I'm Ellen.
And I'm Marley.
As we explore the complexities of the biking world, help us break down barriers and create the world that we want to see.
And don't forget that all bodies really means all bodies, not just larger bodies, but bodies of all sizes,
ages,
races,
abilities,
genders,
sexualities,
and beyond. Come along for the ride. Some reason it has closed captioning turned on and it says, you're a gym. No, you're a gym. No, you're
gym, a gym. Like the name.
No, like gymnasium. Like you're a set of monkey bars. And
well,
I feel like I just went over a set of monkey bars. I'm like finally recovered.
From Unbound.
From Unbound. It took, what day is today? Today's Friday. It took almost 6 days, but I feel human again.
Yay! Well, we wanted to talk more about Unbound, so I'm glad that's what you started with.
Yeah.
Six days is a long time to feel recovered.
Yeah, I mean, I still have this cold sore that is wreaking havoc on my social life and my dating life, because, of course, when I get a cold sore is also when I get meet, like, five interesting new people, and I'm like, I can't kiss you. I don't even want to go on a date with you because I have this monstrosity on my face.
Aww. Well, yeah. So tell me more. We're going to kind of dive in, but tell me more about your cold sore.
So it's herpes. Yum.
Yay. A lot of people have herpes.
Like 80% of the population. So let's destigmatize it. But I get them when I get like an outbreak whenever I'm out in the sun and stressed. And I know that this happens to me. And I tried to be good about sunscreen, but I really wasn't this year. Like, I was good about sunscreen on the rest of my body, but on my lips, I wasn't. And so I just got an outbreak. And I know that that happens when I'm in the sun for 12 plus hours and working hard. Such a bummer.
I get them when I am super stressed out. It's one of the ways that my body will be like, hi,
same.
You've done too much.
It's funny. I didn't feel super stressed out because I think I've learned how to cope with it. But objectively, I had a million and a half things going on between Unbound, running a nonprofit. I did an activation for Ride with GPS, and then riding 109 miles in 90 degree heat. Like, I think objectively, my body was like, you are stressed, even if I didn't actually like feel stressed. So
right, which is also going to be part of the recovery process too. So okay, let's rewind and take it back to the top, because there is one other thing that is somewhat newsworthy about your participation in Unbound this year. Do you remember what it is?
It is my fifth time.
That's newsworthy. That's newsworthy. Not what I mean.
No.
You trained for it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You took time out of your days.
Trained so much for this bike ride, and I never train for bike rides. But I had this kind of desire this year to see what could happen if I didn't just like go couch to 100 miles. And as it turns out, training works.
Really? You don't say.
I mean, I know it sounds obvious, but like, yeah, I've never in my life put forth the effort to, it's going to sound really bad, to prepare.
Wait, this is truly the first time you've trained for a long race?
For a specific event. Yeah. I've previously just kind of like ridden a lot, but I've never been intentional with like ramping up my miles and working on nutrition and like working with a training group. Like I worked there's a group in Bentonville called Femmes Gravel that basically starting in the winter does group rides every week in pursuit of a century. So we started at like 30 miles in February and worked our way up to like, well, they worked their way up to 70 miles by May. And my travel schedule got super crazy busy in like April. And so from April to Unbound last week, I was basically on my own. But I did have like that initial 3 month training that really set me up really well. And it's like, I learned how to ride in a pace line. I learned how to like get better at eating on my bike. I learned like actual endurance. I mean, I don't want to like discount my previous efforts because they've been awesome and really good. But like, I got good at being efficient on the bike and like, I'm really, really good at wasting time, like really good at wasting time. I mean, my previous century took me like 14 and a half hours. That's a long time to be out there.
That's a long time. That's a long day.
Yeah. And this one, my riding time was like 9 hours, 47 minutes, nice. Which is like my fastest century ever. My like finish time was 11 hours and 44 minutes. So I still managed to stop for 2 hours somehow.
Yeah. Oh, who knows? How could you ever possibly? I mean, that's not fair. Even if you think of like a road trip, like suddenly the time just takes longer. But like
100%.
10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, big break for like a couple of a meal or two is like suddenly that's two extra hours.
Exactly. Yeah. And looking back, like it's funny. I put a story on my Instagram yesterday because I took all this footage during Unbound with the goal of making some long form content to show like what it's actually like to ride 100 miles when you're not a pro. And I'm just having imposter syndrome of like editing it and putting it together and just feeling really overwhelmed by that process. Oh. But I was going through it. I was like, man, this is kind of cool, actually. Like I filmed myself stretching at one point when I had a cramp and like eating, and I stopped to help a guy change his tire, which that's kind of a funny story. And I have pretty good trust that he'll never hear this. So I'm going to be very candid. We were like 20 miles in, maybe 25 miles in. And I see this guy on the side of the road kind of looking exasperated. And I'm a nice person. You know, whenever I see anybody stopped on the side of the road in a race, I like to check in and just say, hey, do you have everything you need? That's become my go-to rather than, hey, can I help you? Because sometimes it's like, oh no, I just need an extra tube and I can like drop the tube and keep going, you know? Sure. And so this guy was like, I'm just going to call the SAG. And I was like, why? He was like, oh, I have a flat tire. And I was like, you don't need to quit this race because you have a flat tire. So I pulled over and I helped him out. Turns out he had no idea what he was doing. I felt kind of bad. He was from Norway. So he had come all this way.
Literally like lives in Norway and showed up in the middle of Kansas.
Yeah.
For a bike ride.
And was ready to quit.
And didn't know how to change a tire.
So we got his tire changed. I mean, it was like as simple as getting his tire off the rim. Like he didn't know how to do that. So we did that. We got his tire changed. It was kind of funny. He was running an insert. Like, are you familiar with tire inserts?
No, I don't know.
Me neither, really. It's like a foam insert that goes inside with tubeless. I think it's supposed to help with flat protection.
I was going
to
say, I'm picturing almost like half of a tube that somehow nests up into the tire.
That's exactly what it is. But it's like kind of a dense foam.
Yeah. 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 Okay.
So anyway, he took that out of his wheel and he just like threw it into the field. And I was like, you got to carry that back. And he was like, really? I was like, yeah, don't litter. It was quite the experience to change this guy's tire. But it was funny because like normally going back to the whole training thing.
Yeah.
I don't worry about my time. I'm like, oh, cool. 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. But I found myself like annoyed because all these people that I had passed were suddenly passing me and I wanted to get back out there and pass them again. So like I had this like competitive spirit come out in me.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
It's actually similar to parenting in that way, to where it's just like, I've noticed if I have a different goal versus what my child is currently focused on, I have so little patience for whatever is going on.
Yeah.
And if I can like reframe it to be like, it's not about that. It's about, you know, bigger picture, blah, blah, blah. You can be chill, but like, it's kind of exciting. And I think that's what we were talking about, right? It's like, you had a goal, you trained.
Yeah.
And so that is an interesting pointing out of how your mentality shifts in all of that.
Yeah. And it's interesting because people, you know, before Unbound were asking me, well, what's your goal? What's your time goal? And I was hesitant to put a time on it because the conditions out there can be so variable. So it's like, you know, even if my goal was 12 hours, if we ended up getting a section of mud that forced us to get off and walk, like that time goal can just get thrown out the window. But as folks have probably seen, it was a surprisingly very dry, very fast year. It has been so wet in the Midwest recently, so wet. And it got hot, it got windy, and the roads were like prime condition. It was incredible. There was like one spot of mud, and wasn't problematic. Didn't faze me. It was on the 100-mile course, but it was just a super fast day out there. It was really, really fun.
That is fun and very rewarding to feel like you trained and then you got great conditions instead of feeling like you trained and it was inevitable that you wouldn't hit your goal.
Yeah. And I think the best part was I felt good all day long.
Well, how does that, like, you love to ride. So how is that different from other rides?
That's a good question. You know, oftentimes I will reach a point on my ride where it's like my body kind of shuts down and it's like, okay, you've hit a wall and this isn't fun anymore. You know, my knee will hurt or some other body part, or I'll just kind of lose my endurance. I'll lose my stamina. And it's like, cool. That 40-mile ride felt really good. But during Unbound, it was like the first, I think, 25 miles, I averaged 14 miles an hour, which for me is stupid fast. Like normally on gravel.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good pace for any long distance race.
Yeah. And it's funny. Do you ride for the cycling computer, Ellen?
I have. I don't currently, but I have in the past.
Okay. So my computer, normally when I'm on a route like Unbound or any significant ride, when I'm climbing a hill, it'll say, you know, hill 1 of 8 or 1 of 15 or whatever the hill profile is for the race. And the first 25 miles, I didn't get any hills on my computer screen, even though we were climbing some. I was like, oh, maybe they just like turned off that function or maybe there was an update to the system. No. I hit mile like 26 or 27 and it was like climb 1 of 14. I was like,
oh no,
this is why I've been going so fast. The first part of the course was just like, I don't know if it trended downhill or just flat or what it was.
Sure.
But once I started hitting the hills, my time slowed down. And I think I ended up averaging like 10 miles or 11 miles an hour over the course of the day, which is still really, great. Really awesome for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because you could even think of like, if you get to average it out across the whole course, at some point you were going 10 miles an hour up a hill, which is real fast.
Yeah, it's true. My max speed was 36 miles an hour.
Is that fast? That feels very fast to me.
It felt fast on the gravel.
Especially on gravel.
Yeah. I think my max speed ever was like 48 miles an hour, but that was on a road bike. And I don't know that I'll ever hit that speed again.
I don't want you to. That feels so dangerous.
Yeah.
I do have a speedometer on my bike. And now that I'm riding with Remy more, it's like I'm figuring out how fast his little bike goes and how fast he's like comfortable going. And I'm just shocked. It's like going down the right hills at the right times. It's like,
what does he get to?
He's gotten up to like 17, 18. I know.
That's wild because he's 4.
Yes. He's very, very close to 5.
Wow. I love that though, like instilling that confidence because, you know, sometimes I ride with adults who are afraid to go fast and there's nothing wrong with that, but going fast is one of my favorite things in the world.
Of course. That's why you climb hills.
Yeah.
That's why you make it up the hills.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's fun. Well, I am glad that you felt good the whole time. Like that also
Well, feels especially because my knee has been so problematic.
So it didn't bother you as much at all?
It bothered me a lot. But I think I figured out a good combination of ibuprofen, acetaminophen. There's a topical cream called Voltaren and CBD cream. So I was just kind of like a rolling medicine cabinet all day.
We're going to numb the shit out of this knee.
And it worked. I also did lots of stretching. I mean, to be fair, there were, I think around mile like 53 or 54, right as I was coming into the aid station, I seriously had the thought of, I shouldn't keep riding. Like, I'm doing damage to my knee. But then I got to the aid station. I ate some pizza. I had a cold Dr. Pepper waiting for me. So the way that Unbound works is...
I was going to say, like, you specifically had a Dr. Pepper or...
Yes. So for Unbound, for the 100 and the 200, it is unsupported except at the aid stations. But you have to supply your own crew and your own resupply. So like most races,
your own crew. So like you have to have a buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, or there's bike shop. You can do crew for hire. And that's what I did.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So there's a bike shop in Ottawa, Kansas called Ottawa Bike and Trail that runs support for folks. It's like $30, I think. And you give them your drop bag in the days leading up to the race, you know, labeled with your name. And then at the midway point, they are waiting for you, and they've got a cooler and they've got tents, so you can like sit down and take a leg off. That doesn't make sense.
Just take a load off.
Take a load off. Then there are bike shops that have a mechanic. So they, you know, do anything that your bike needs. It's kind of, have you seen the pros showing all their videos of like their pit stops?
No.
It's like absurd. Like theirs is like NASCAR style. Like they come in like it's like a race to do it as fast as possible.
Do they swap bikes out to make it faster?
They don't swap bikes. Like you have to stay on the same bike all day at Unbound. You can swap components, but you have to stay on the same frame. But they like swap out hydration packs, and like for the pros, they try and get in and out within like 30 seconds. It is absurd. My goal is 15 minutes. to give some context there. Because I knew I wanted to like refuel. I wanted to reapply sunscreen. I had such a blazing fast morning that I knew I had time to burn, and they removed the time cutoffs on the 100 mile. So I could have slept for 4 hours and been fine. My goal was really to get in before dark. I had lights on me, but I didn't want to have to use them. So, you know, my knee was hurting really bad coming into the aid station. All I wanted was pizza. But I hadn't packed myself any pizza. I had packed like, you know, refills on my gels and candy and water. And, I had packed myself a Dr. Pepper. Because I knew that that was going to be delicious. I had packed myself Cheetos and Oreos and just a lot of like really
comfort food,
but nothing substantial. And so like, as I was pulling into the aid station, I was like, damn it. I wish I had like a cold slice of pizza or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something. And sure enough, when I got there, they had pizza. And I was like, can I eat a slice of this? And it was the best pizza. And so, you know, I sat there, I stretched, I ate pizza, I put more arthritis cream on, and my knee started feeling better. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm going to keep going. And so I would have stretches of like 20 miles with no pain. It was awesome.
That is exciting. That must feel good too and kind of freeing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Especially because like, you know, riding normally doesn't hurt my knee. It's walking, it's being on my feet. And we had like 3 days of expo before Unbound. Oh. So it was like just really inflamed and angry. And I've been to my doctor a bunch, you know, for folks listening of like, Marley, why are you still riding if your knee is messed up? Mechanically, there is nothing wrong with my knee right now. I had meniscus surgery in November. It's healed. Right now, I'm just dealing with arthritis pain. Yeah.
And arthritis, like what's the definition of arthritis? That's just the swelling then?
I think it's swelling, like loss of cartilage, bone on bone. Yeah. And so
not a lot you can do about it, but
no. And I am eventually going to need a knee replacement, but my doctor says not yet, which is really frustrating. Mm-hmm. But it still feels really good that I was able to ride 109 miles. It wasn't just 100 miles. It was 109 miles. And then my knee feels fine this week. You know, it still hurts when I'm walking, but I feel good that I didn't do any further damage to it.
Yeah. It's not feeling worse now that you're off the bike. Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about the alarms that you set. Cause I think I saw an Instagram reel where you have this stack of reminders that show up. Is that on your bike computer or just an app? What is this?
Yep. So I use a Wahoo Element Bolt bike computer. And so it sits on my handlebars and I have it set up to remind me to eat, to drink, to have a good time, and that I can do hard things. So the way that it works is I wear a heart rate monitor when I ride. And basically that's so I can like maintain my efforts all day long. You know,
but it's like when I was doing more recreational, like ride for sport, it's really helpful to know when you're like, when your heart rate is super high or too high.
Because exactly.
I wouldn't notice that it's like when it's so high, that's actually then when I feel the worst. And it's like the signal to chill or to slow or to like recover within the ride.
Yeah. And I've really learned that if I keep my heart rate around like 150, I can go all day long. I can maintain a conversation. It's when I push myself beyond that. And that happens when I'm climbing hills or if I'm trying to keep up with people who are faster than me. And so it's a really good just kind of self-regulator of like, hey, keep it in this zone and I can go all day. But with that, it counts calories. And I know we don't talk about calories. We don't talk about food restriction. But staying properly fueled on these long rides is crucial. And so I have it set up to where every 100 calories that I hit, it sends me a reminder to eat something. Nice. Which is kind of annoying, to be honest. Like,
right, 100 calories, but you would hit that pretty quickly.
Really quickly. And so, like, I'll eat, like, you know, a handful of gummy bears or a nerd gummy cluster. I have dialed in my candy mix. We'll talk about that. you know, sometimes I'll eat something more substantial. But, yeah, it's like, I don't know. I think over the course of the entire day, I supposedly burned, like, 5,600 calories, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, honestly, it got annoying having to hit that reminder every time because you have to dismiss it. But I kept it on there because it is a good reminder, because you get to a point where you don't want to eat anything else, but you need to.
Yeah.
I also have this really bad habit of, like, I'm at mile 75. I'm basically done. Not true at all. No, I still have like 30 miles to go, which is like 3 or 4 hours. Right. So it's just a reminder. So I've got that. I've got it set up every 20 minutes to remind me to drink, which that one's a little bit easier to self-regulate because it was hot. You get thirsty. But that one's especially helpful for like winter time. And then, like I said, I think it's every 15 miles, it tells me to have a good time. And then I think at mile 50, I had a reminder that you can do hard things. So
I like both of those a lot. There is, I think, a good mental shift when you have something pop up. It's like, don't forget you're here for fun.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I like to switch them up depending on the ride or the race. But it pops up and it makes me smile. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm living the life right now. This is incredible.
That is lovely. I like that a lot. It is true. I think you say this a lot. It's like, I can't believe this is my life.
Yeah.
If you're paid, you're not paid. I guess you weren't paid to go on Unbound, but you're making, it's part of your living.
It is part of my living. Really cool this year. We'll have a link to it. But Shimano did a profile on me and my bike setup, which is really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. It's, you know, I'm an ambassador for Shimano, but it feels cool to be included because, you know, they profiled Lauren Stevens and Pete Stetna, two of the pros. And it's just cool to be kind of like a regular person being profiled, which is really nice.
Exactly. Yeah. Someone who's representative of more than just a person, a pro who was, of course, knows everything about their elements on their bike, but you also are a pretty, like, you're a fun writer. You're not a pro writer.
Yeah.
But you also care about your components, and here's why.
And exactly. Here's why. And I rode flat pedals, controversial, unpopular opinion. I love flat pedals. You don't need to be clipped in. Worked out just fine. Do you ride flats or clips?
I ride flats now, but that's like on my e-bike around town. Once I was doing recreation, I liked clipped it. I like clips. It just like, I got good about like kind of using the full stroke.
Yeah.
You get clipped in when you're clipped in, you can do that. But I don't knock flat pedals for sure.
Like, a lot of people do though.
Well, they can shut up.
I agree. Yeah.
You did great on flat pedals.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of time left, and I want to talk a bit more about like kind of the recovery process that you've been through. You said it took 6 days for you to really feel kind of back up to, you know, neutral.
Yeah.
So what should someone, especially, I know you trained for it, but it still winds up being a big ride. What should someone who's either kind of not used to riding that mileage expect as far as this recovery, and what was your experience?
You're going to be really, really tired. You're going to be hungry, and every system in your body is going to be out of whack. You know, for me, that meant sleep. That meant my period. I also started my period during Unbound, which was really fun, except first, not.
Just, yeah, wonderful. of course.
Yeah.
But our friend and St. Ilona Mar, she's not our friend. St. Ilona Mar just did a reel about she did swimsuit week.
I saw her period. That. And she was in some skimpy bikinis. Holy cow. Skimpy.
When I'm on my period, all I want to do is wear like black things and jeans to just make sure. And she's she's out there doing it. So good job. You and Ilona just doing hard things while bleeding.
Exactly. But yeah, recovery. I mean, take care of yourself. Sleep, eat, drink. For me, I was really craving like watermelon and lots of fruit afterwards, which was interesting because I don't normally crave that. And I think I was just like so dehydrated. You know, I had 2 liters on my back and then 2 water bottles, and I was peeing throughout the day, but I was still super dehydrated. And then it's just, you know, for me, I had a huge inflammatory response afterwards. I have inflammation issues anyway, but it was like, I got puffy, I got swollen, I got this cold sore. And it's really taken like 6 days of, you know, eating a bunch of non-processed foods, just taking care of myself, sleeping extra. So yeah, it really just made me think about people like Lael Wilcox, who do century after century after century. Like, she just rode around the world. Like, she is made different. I don't know how you could do that every single day. Because my everything was just depleted.
Yeah.
And I don't really have any advice, because like, I don't want to do this again. Like, the ride was super fun, and it was probably one of my most fun days on the bike, but the recovery has been kind of atrocious. Like, I don't want to go through this again.
That is okay. So that's interesting to me. Do you think you're going to remember it, or do you think it's going to be one of those things that like 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 5 months from now, you'll be like Unbound only and not remembering the recovery?
Probably. I mean, because I've done Unbound 100 twice before this.
Yeah.
And don't remember this being this bad.
Well, we'll check in with you in a year and see how you feel. And the other thing I remember you saying is that like, you specifically chose 100 because last year you did 50 and you missed it. So
yeah.
Maybe it's just that you're going to wind up like alternating. You'll remember and then do the 50 next year and be like, oh, and then the 100.
To be honest, I want to do the 100 again, minus the recovery. Because it's something incredible happens out there when you're out there for that long. It's like, you just have so many different experiences. I remember at one point, mile 30, I was like, this is going too fast. The day is going to be over before I know it. I want to be out here longer. And by mile 80, I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm over it.
Yeah, I'm fine now. Let's go. Chop, chop. Yeah. That's funny. But I think it's a bit, again, it's kind of one of like, any ride could be your best and your worst, like within 5 minutes, right?
100%.
So sticking with it and staying out there means that you'll get more of each.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just really proud of myself. Going back to the training thing, like, I have never done anything like this. And it's like, I wonder what else I'm capable of if I was actually consistent with things.
Yeah. How about that? Do you think you'll train again?
Probably. Because it made the day so much more enjoyable to not be suffering. So I think even just maintaining a really good level of fitness would be really helpful. So that way I do have like, oh, I'm going to go ride 60 miles and it's not going to be a big deal. But we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard because summer's here and it's really hot here.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know what to tell you other than you're right.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe we should find, who was the coach who helped the Unbound Gravel team? Not Unbound Gravel team. Who was the coach who helped the Mid-South team?
Dave Schell.
Maybe we have Dave on to just talk about hurdles in training and what do you do when it's super hot outside, if you would rather be outside. I guess you can always get on the trainer and the AC, but
I did enough of that this winter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's also, I feel like that's a hazard of the Midwest. You get like 2 weeks of beautiful weather and you remember why you ride and why this is wonderful. And then you get 75 weeks of cold and 75 weeks of hot and you have to figure out.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Well, I'm really, really, really glad you had a good time. We're pretty much at time. I
think should we give a couple updates on general all bodies on bike stuff? So we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We still have the membership program going. It is going, I don't want to say bonkers or bonanza, but we've got a lot of folks who have joined as members. We have a free tier. We've got $5 a month, $10 a month, or more, depending on what you can afford. And that really helps us keep our programming going. We've got a ton of All Bodies on Bikes events with our chapters coming up. Go to allbodiesonbikes.com/events to see all of that. We were just on the Today Show. We will do a link and maybe another story about that.
We talked a little bit about it, I think, behind the scenes, but I think it'd be fun to have even just like a little episode that's like, hey, did you find us from the Today Show?
Yeah.
This is what we're about.
And then trying to get what else is going on. We've got, check out our website for events. And things are rocking and rolling.
I know. It's summer. It's like high season for us.
Yeah.
Like how Bridgerton comes out in the middle of the summer and everybody's out and about and doing things and being seen. Same.
Is there a new Bridgerton coming out?
There will be, but not. Yes. I just mean like how they all like the summer. The summer is the season, and you have to do everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get your hopes up that something was happening this year. I don't think it's until next year.
Oh, dang!
Like 2026.
Okay,
but all right. It's. I mean, we can have a whole episode about Bridgerton if you want later. Gonna be good.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. Okay,
with that, I'll see you soon, Marley. Bye.
Sounds good. Bye.